You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Today's episode is sponsored by DraftKings. Stay tuned because you'll hear more about DraftKings and all it has to offer throughout the show. DraftKings, the crown is yours.
I really do enjoy the way that the money is pouring into what used to be amateur sports and NIL and the chaos that it is causing. Over the weekend, Jack Golke, I think we all discovered him at the same time, plays for Oakland, comes in off the bench, does nothing but shoot. He makes 10 threes on three dribbles. And in the sport, in WNBA, NBA, college basketball, in the last 25 years, according to OptiStats, there are only two times that someone has come off the bench and shot 20-plus threes and no twos in a game. Both times, it's Jack Golke. And TurboTax decided to capitalize on this so immediately because they were afraid that Golke would immediately get eliminated, which he did.
Yeah.
That they did a, you know, they just did an NIL deal with him. Golke spent the weekend just signing NIL deals. But this right here is absurdly funny. He can't even be bothered to have the time to get to the gym. He's clearly in a hotel ballroom. I'm going to guess Radisson Inn carpet. 1980s was the last time it was changed. And here we go. Jack Golke just doing a commercial for TurboTax.
Me and my team got to the next round by making all our moves count. Just like TurboTax,
who makes all your off-court moves count this tax season.
I mean, come on. Come on. That's right, Billy. That's the correct response.
Well, he hit the ceiling.
Dribbling on carpet.
He's in a hotel ballroom. He's dribbling on carpet. Yet you at least got to give TurboTax their money's worth by going to a gym.
Have there been advances in anything less than in carpet? Like, what was the last carpet advance?
I'm going to guess easier to clean. I know there are very expensive kinds of rugs, so...
Oh, well, look, they've taped down, like, if you look, they taped down a three-point line on the carpet. Look, there's a white tape three-point line on that video.
Now, that's production value.
That he's running around to shoot. Look, watch him. And there's actually a white court also. Look, they made a court out of tape on that carpet.
It looks like he's in a gym.
Yeah.
It does not look like he's in a gym. Mike Ryan found all of the basketball middling. He called it March Madness. I will say that the NCAA tournament has never been about good basketball. It's just about, hey, please give me some close basketball. Because even, I mean, maybe when you're going back to the time of Tim Duncan and someone like Tim Duncan will play for 4 years, but now the basketball, what you're watching is basically being able to bet. You saw the numbers. I've told you before that I don't trust the ratings on anything, but the numbers being distributed suggest that more people watch the average game in the first round than ever have. 8.3 million per game. 8.3 million is what the numbers are that they're giving you, and it's just because it's action.
It's a good year to have the take that March Madness isn't exactly what people hype it up to be, because March, as you mentioned, it's about moments. And there haven't really been moments. You had a crazy 3-to-end regulation last night. You basically had good games to start the experience on your Friday and one solid one to end your experience, but a whole lot of bad basketball and not a lot of memorable results. It is just the fifth time in history that all 1 and 2 seeds have advanced to the Sweet 16, so you haven't had real signature upsets. The darling Cinderellas are pretty much gone by now, so it hasn't been a great tournament by any real stretch of the imagination.
I think it's been a return to the norm. I mean, last year you had 3 outliers in the men's Final Four, and that's not, you can't count on that happening. And now, you know, for me, the NCAA tournament is something I really pay attention to now when it's at the Sweet 16. And there are no real Cinderellas left, unless you count NC State as an 11 seed. And on the women's side, there's no real Cinderella. That's the Cinderella fallacy, I call it. We love Cinderella.
You do.
We love Cinderella.
You have a name for it.
Yeah, and you got to capitalize the F as well. The Cinderella fallacy is that's why we all love March Madness so much. We're enthralled with the brackets because when Oakland beats Kentucky, oh my God, we're apoplectic with joy, knowing that Oakland's going to lose in the next game and that Jack Golkey, who looks like he's 38 years old, is going to disappear after cashing on NIL and we'll never hear from
him. He's not going to disappear. I'm going to remember this. I'm going to know where I was when I saw this commercial for Jack Golkey in a ballroom. what hotel do you imagine that is?
Because Radisson.
The carpet is giving off something, right? That carpet, burgundy, it doesn't feel like a new design. It feels like a carpet that has been there for at least 2 decades. Yeah,
it smells, that carpet.
I don't know if it smells.
Yeah. I can smell it through the TV. It's bad. It's been there since the 1960s, that carpet. And that design, what is that, a paisley design? I don't know what I'm looking at there. Is that a flame? What is that that we're seeing? It's crazy.
I do miss March Madness creating stars. Jack Golkey, there's usually like 2 or 3 of Jack Golkey, and this year, at least on the men's side, there isn't. On the women's side of the bracket, there are names establishing themselves like Audie Crooks and whatnot, but that's because generally the audience is less familiar with them. But there have been... It's been pretty chalky on both brackets, both the men's and women's, and it's been disappointing.
I feel like your enthusiasm, Mike, would be a little different if there was a certain blue blood team in the tournament.
Yeah, no doubt, but they were also upsetting teams. Yeah. You know, they were a lower seed last year, both the men's and women's, and they upset top seeds on their way to March, on their way to the Final Four, and that's what March is supposed to be about, at least to me. Otherwise, you just get a bunch of boring games, and even if you follow the sport, which I follow the sport a little bit more now because, as you mentioned, I'm a blue blood, it bucks against the trends that you'd been hearing all year. For example, the last 3 years, we've been hearing how the ACC, noted famous basketball conference, is actually overrated and doesn't stack up with the better conferences, the Big Ten in particular. Right now, presently, in the Sweet 16, there are more ACC schools than the Big Ten has had in the Sweet 16 in the last 3 years combined. The ACC continually bucks against this narrative nationally that they are an overrated conference and they always have Final Four representation.
Taylor says you're walking dangerously close to the line that gets your blue blood card revoked.
I have in front of me a news story that if it had been played in the tournament, people would care. Unfortunately, it involves the Tasmania Jack Jumpers. But the way that one of their games ended over the weekend, Dellavedova turned the ball over in Australia at the end, and then Jack McVay came down the court and shot just over half court, made a three-pointer to win the game. If that had happened in the NCAA tournament, that ending... it's one of those things that we would remember forever. Like one of those games that you remember where it is that you were because you can't believe that you saw something. And we all look like Stan Van Gundy during that game last year when he's on the sidelines and he's disoriented. But unfortunately, it involved Tasmania. But if it had been in the tournament and it had been if Tasmania had advanced on a half court three toward the buzzer, we'd be talking about it. But those games this weekend weren't any good. And Zach Edey doesn't have any actual enemies. So Purdue has made one of me for calling him a plague. Purdue fans are very mad at me because their offense was very good, at least in part, because he gets a lot of free throws because no one can get him out of the key. And there is a place, by the way, that you can accuse me of hypocrisy because my friends were arguing with me this week, and they're like, why don't you like him? If someone is bigger and faster than other people, you have no problems with them. But just because someone is bigger than everyone else, you have a problem with them? And I'm like, yeah. That's the reason. I don't like that what he's doing in basketball is something that feels like no one can move him out of the key. He's too physically strong.
Right. He didn't cheat though to get like that.
Correct, but I just don't like watching it. But
it feels like cheating sometimes, but no, he didn't cheat. And yeah, their head coach actually said something that I thought was a general criticism that you were lumped into, that if you think that he's good just because he's big, you don't know ball.
Oh, but I don't think that. I know he's good. And it's not just because he's big. He's got a skill set, but the fact that he's stronger than everybody is the reason that he's able to get where he wants in the key, and they have to foul him. But the hypocrisy that I'm guilty of is that I enjoyed watching this weekend Audie Crooks of Iowa State, even though she's stronger than everybody physically, but I love the heavier basketball player. I've always loved the heavy basketball player, and the hypocrisy that you've caught me in is I'd be totally fine with Zach Edey if he was 150 more pounds and flabby. Yeah. If it was more body fat, I would love him.
Yeah.
Like it has nothing to do with the fact that he's stronger than everybody.
It has everything to do with that he's proportional.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. If he were 150 pounds heavier, I would be rooting for him, and be if he was like Big Baby Robinson but 7'5".
Big Baby Davis, excuse me.
We all love the large, out of shape athlete. We love the defensive tackle returning a fumble. Same theory there.
Yeah, this has been a good year to have the take that March Madness is overrated. That take stands up against like more memorable March Madnesses where you do have those moments. I think that you go through a lot, you sift through it, as we made the minor analogy last week, and you get a couple of good nuggets. This year, my take is really aging well just because there hasn't been that. We're all just still trying to chase the ghosts of Jack Golke.
All right, but can you guys help me with this part? Because I do feel part of this is simply packaging and nostalgia. This is minor league basketball. These are human beings who are learning how to play basketball. Some of them are very young, and they're going to school for 1 year to learn how to play basketball. I'm not interested in the G League either, but if you make it in March, give me giant stakes and tell me at every turn that everybody's going to be watching and we can bet all day and everyone's going to be caring, I might be more interested. Let's go ahead and play that video from Australia so you could see what it is that I'm talking about. This is Matthew Dellavedova inbounding the ball, and he throws it away, and here we go. We're going down the court. Imagine this at the end of March Madness, and at the end of one of the games.
Nice.
Totally absurd from half court, making a game winner from half court. I believe what you're watching is minor league basketball. And we care about it just because we put stakes on it. I shouldn't say just. You put regional identity on it, too. I saw Jim Nance in the crowd yesterday.
Those are pros. If you stack that Australian team with Dellavedova in there, I'd imagine they'd perform admirably against the NCAA lot.
Yes, they would. Agreed. The point that I was simply making is that much of it is a made-for-television contrivance, that we care about it because we're grandfathering it in from another time, but it's something that's always fascinating to me. We care deeply about minor league sports in this country. We care deeply about the regional identity that we get from our town being shown nationally, and I can puff out my regional pride. I was disoriented by seeing Jim Nance enjoy Houston basketball.
Yeah.
In the crowd, Jim Nance, I always think of as either neutral or whispering. Jim Nance, even on football, doesn't convey excitement. His voice is always steady. To see him emotional watching Houston basketball, scared because he knows not to trust Houston basketball.
Yeah, what does he look like excited? I picture him just giving a nice little golf clap at even the most outrageously exciting play.
That's not what was happening. He was careening all over the place, doing interviews. He couldn't stop talking about his beloved Houston Cougars.
You know, when legendary coaches step down, they have the decency to stay away from the program for a little bit for the replacement coach because you don't want that discomfort around. Then you wait a little bit, or you can be like Roy Williams, which is all, look at me, I'm at every game. Yeah. But I'm sure Ian Eagle can't possibly appreciate Jim Nance breathing over his neck.
Not at all.
Let us miss you, Jim.
Exactly.
Wow, that is not the take I had a lot of people having yesterday.
No, that's a surprising one. It's sort of like, Mike Ryan stepping down as executive producer and still looking right over Christopher's shoulder. You know, not that Not that that's appropriate for me to say.
You're closer than Jim Nance was to Ian Eagle. You're right on top. Like it is. He can smell and feel your breath on his neck. That's how close you are to where Chris Cody
is. I do believe you got my ass. I do believe you got my ass.
Good point by you, though.
No, it's great. Valid. I'm going to go get water. Walk that one off.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Levitard.
I'm going to get some golf ASMR.
Stugatz.
Oh, me.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
Does this make you question if Nance has always had this bias?
Maybe
he wasn't so impartial. I feel like maybe now we go through, you know, we go through the tapes and we see what was going on in those Houston games with Nance. You know what I mean?
I spent a few seconds disoriented at the vision once I saw him cheering because it was legitimately confusing to me to see. I expected it's not just confusing to me because of what he is on broadcasts for many, many years, even exciting broadcasts, dramatic ends to the Masters. I think of him as somewhat stoic, not repressed. But seeing him in that context was something that took me a second to adjust to, because I think of Jim Nance as somebody who's wearing dock shoes, golf clothes, and emotions are not something that spill from him. That he is a person who can be trusted to simply... No? What are you shaking your head about,
I feel
Billy?
Like Jimmy can let it loose. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm obviously wrong.
He's skinny dipped for sure.
Not dock shoes.
What?
Put it on the poll, please, at Levitard Show. Has Jim Nance skinny dipped for sure? And can Jim Nance really let it loose at Levitard Show?
Raftery definitely has.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Plenty of onions, yeah.
Vern Lundquist loves a nude hot tub.
Oh, I bet.
For sure.
I think he likes a sauna.
Turkish bath.
Yeah. I mean, without really. The towel. Like him and the boys go to the lodge. You know what I mean?
You know
just
what?
Let loose, take off the towel. Can no, I see your
Vern
wiener?
Is,
who cares?
Vern is 100% a Turkish bathhouse guy.
No, no.
The lodge.
This is, no.
He's a moose.
Oh, we disagree
sure,
on
right?
this?
I'm vehement disagreement. And I put Vern in the hot tub for a reason. It's because he's not laying nude on his stomach and letting someone hit him in the back with leaves, with palm fronds. He is not letting anybody do that.
No. Yeah, no. I see the opposite side of the coin. I think he is that
guy. Mm-hmm. No.
The back's not a great angle for Vern.
I think Nance would be more likely to be a Turkish bath guy.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I think Nance's never taking off his suit.
Who at CBS?
He's in the sauna. Yeah. You know what? Put it on the poll at Levitard Show. Is Jim Nance in the sauna in a suit?
It's almost like a tougher game is who at CBS isn't a Turkish bathhouse guy.
Right.
I'm going through the broadcasters right now, and I'm trying to think, what is Ian Eagle like?
He is a Turkish bathhouse guy. I don't think I can find one that isn't.
Kevin Holland?
Oh, Turkish bathhouse guy.
Put it on the poll at Levitard Show. Gus Johnson, have you ever been in a Turkish bathhouse at Levitard Show? Yes or no?
Was that to Gus Johnson or that's to the public?
I'm asking.
The way you phrased that was Gus
Fox,
Johnson. Have
he's
you
a
ever
Fox
been
guy.
A Turkish bathhouse?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they let loose differently over there.
Do they?
Yeah.
They do?
But at CBS, they've had long-standing grandfathered memberships back when, you know, CBS first started. One specific bathhouse.
Really?
It kind of feels a little cultish. Wow.
The Turkish bathhouse You got to be careful.
It does have like a secret society aspect.
You
got to
be careful with them because you got
to
make sure they're clean and well taken care of. Otherwise,
you're just very moist.
Yes, very mildewy. Yeah. You got to be careful with all that stuff. Yeah.
Bill Cowher, definitely got a towel on, but not for long. You know what I'm saying?
Turkish bathhouse guy.
Yeah. Yeah, there's one in the beach. Russian and Turkish baths.
I don't doubt it.
Sparrow Ditas.
I've been to that one.
Have you?
And it's why I say what it is that I just said. You got to be careful with
how
that.
How is it?
Some experience, huh?
Oh, Brad Nessler.
All people of influence.
Brad Nessler.
All people of influence, Billy. They have a membership to one of these bathhouse places. Yeah, for sure.
How does it work, Dan, when you go, like... Or do you go discreetly? You have like a plug there?
I only went once. And again, the reason that I have the experience to tell you that you have to be careful is because when Greg Cody mentioned scents, you're talking about things that for many years have been in damp, damp areas near the beach. And you have to take care of those things vigorously or they will start to smell and they will be dirty. And you don't want to be walking around on a tile floor that isn't exactly as clean.
This is where the Illuminati gave you highly questionable. Yes.
Did you get sprayed with a fire hose? I'm looking at pictures of their services and there's just a dude spraying someone with a fire hose.
I got the palm fronds on the back. And really? I did not like it.
Were they slapping you?
Yes. No, they snap you.
Wow.
They hit you.
Yeah.
I think it's meant to get blood flow going and lactic acid going, and it's meant to...
Did it work?
It's not supposed to be.
This is where you secured the Beto O'Rourke South Beach session, yes?
Yeah.
Me and him just wearing towels.
Well, this is where they
towels.
Told you, you're going to interview Beto.
Who do you think was hitting him with a palm fronds?
It was Kevin Hart, actually. That was Kevin Hart.
Gotcha.
Was the interview that I secured with the Illuminati at the Turkish bathhouse. You mentioned Fox, and it made me immediately think of Kim Mulkey. Can we play the sound, please, of Kim Mulkey? And I just cannot wait for whatever it is this Washington Post report is, because... among other things, she's complaining that the reporter who's been trying to reach her for 2 years to do this didn't give her enough time to respond. Like 2 years has been trying to get an interview with Mulkey. And Mulkey, you know, Brittany Griner said, among other things, that Mulkey, you know, tried to get her to repress her sexuality publicly. And Kim Mulkey seems pretty terrible. And the reason, you know, she's in big trouble here isn't the voice. It's because she didn't wear one of those ridiculous outfits this time to this press conference where she's got a 2-minute response to a Washington Post story that she's alerting us all to, doing great publicity for the Washington Post because we all want to see what this story's going to say.
This reporter has been working on a story about me for 2 years. After 2 years of trying to get me to sit with him for an interview, he contacts LSU on Tuesday as we were getting ready for the first round game of this tournament with more than a dozen questions, demanding a response by Thursday, right before we're scheduled to tip off. Are you kidding me? This was a ridiculous deadline that LSU and I could not possibly meet, and the reporter knew it. It was just an attempt to prevent me from commenting and an attempt to distract us from this tournament. It ain't gonna work, buddy. Unfortunately, this is part of a pattern that goes back years. I told this reporter 2 years ago that I didn't appreciate the hit job he wrote on Brian Kelly, and that's why I wasn't going to do an interview with him. After that, the reporter called two former college coaches of mine and left multiple messages that he was with me in Baton Rouge to get them to call him back, trying to trick these coaches into believing that I was working with the Washington Post on a story. But you see, reporters who give a megaphone to a one-sided, embellished version of things aren't trying to tell the truth. They're trying to sell newspapers and feed the click machine. This is exactly why people don't trust journalists and the media anymore. It's these kinds of sleazy tactics and hatchet jobs that people are just tired of. I'm fed up. I've hired the best defamation law firm in the country, and I will sue the Washington Post if they publish a false story about me.
Juju, put her on the poll, please. Does Kim Mulkey sound like Marlboro Reds? The click machine, what does that look like? The click machine.
I know it very well.
That's why I was asking.
Yeah, it's amorphous. You know, it's more of a just a an invisible dinosaur that's out there and gnarling and growling and threatening. But that woman is terrified of the truth. Oh. She is terrified of what he's about to write because she knows it's going to be truthful.
Does she have a sister?
It ain't going to work, buddy.
Oh.
Can I ask you guys a question about journalism?
Let Baby Z shoot a shot.
When you're working on a story for 2 years, are you doing anything else? Because that seems like a racket.
Yeah, it is.
Like, oh, you got that Mulkey thing? Nah, a little more time, boss. It's been 2 years dragging this out on salary.
Really? I'm aiming
putting 20, nothing out.
2026 is my target date.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Don Lebatard.
Many of you, by the way, are writing in and you're saying, Dan, quit being so mean to co-hosts that you always deem incompetent. That's the formula, man. Me being mean to the co-host is what allows Stugatz to take a very wealthy vacation right now.
Stugatz!
It's a winning position for everyone but me. Have you guys not figured this out yet? That's the whole thing, is me being rotten straight, man. As everyone else gets to be incompetent, then I yell at them for being incompetent. And here's the miracle of it. It's the magic elixir. Bad, which is the only thing Greg Cody can be, becomes good and lovable. And it's because standing next to obnoxious, strident me makes everyone look that way.
Yeah, and the brush with death helped.
Yeah, that was planned by me. The whole thing was contrived.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
Chris Cody, give me the stat of the day music, please.
Stat of the day, stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Stat of the day, stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Stat of the day, stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Stat of the day, stat of the day. It is the stat of the day.
This is from College Sports Only. North Carolina's starting five. The average age is 22 years and 2 months. The Oklahoma City Thunder, that can very much win the championship this year, their starting five, the average age is 22 years and 6 months. That's crazy. And if you've seen those guys interviewed when Holmgren and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander get together after games, they're children. Like, they behave like children in the interviews. And one of the things that's happening in the NBA that's so interesting is Minnesota goes to the LA Clippers, win by 18, and the guys, the young guys on the bench, are like making fun of the old guys, saying, look at their old asses. They're old. And I know that many people in Miami are very frustrated by the Miami Heat being only 39 and 32. But these things are hard to keep up there. They have the same record as the Lakers. They have a better record than the Warriors. Now, I know the Lakers and the Warriors are considered disappointments, but it's hard to stay on top. But Oklahoma City, if Holmgren, that body type scares me because I always think it's going to get hurt. But if they stay healthy, that team's only going to keep getting better because that's not a team that has yet reached its athletic prime.
Where have we heard that before? Oh, yeah, Oklahoma City.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's correct, but they've got a chance with these young players this year. Like, people are going to discover that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, all the metrics suggest that he's not Jokic quite, but he's, like, the second-best player in the league.
I love the young, fast team, and I love it because if you're good right now, imagine how you're going to be in 5 years. You know, that's why where the Heat are at right now, led by an aging, still pretty great, but an aging Jimmy Butler. I don't know, where are they in 5 years, you know?
Well, you saw over the weekend the New Orleans Pelicans were making fun of Jimmy Butler because he said when they fought last time, he said, we're the better team and we're going to beat him up in Miami. We're going to beat him in Miami. And then they lose at home by 20. And his words don't mean anything. He's always going to say, we're the best. And the Pelicans, they've got a very good social media account. They went after Stephen A. Smith in a way that was funny, and they just put up, we're the better team.
You can't hold Jimmy Butler accountable, and no one really does. That's why he gets away with saying these things. It's like chasing down DJ Khaled and asking him, wait a second, I would like to push back a little bit on the notion that we the best.
Well, but it's the whole Heat culture thing. That ridiculous saying they have where we're the best, we're the most determined, we're the strongest.
That's not how it goes.
Okay, well, whatever it is, it works great when you're winning.
Can you keep going?
You're dominating.
Keep going, though.
Let's see. Okay. It's fair what you're saying, that we don't have to like the saying. I still want our group to find for me something, especially as we head into these playoffs, that electric shocks people who say the word culture. Because I don't want to annoy the audience any more than we already annoy the audience with all of this.
Okay, but the Heat has owned that, and they put a capital letter on the C. And all I'm saying is Heat culture, and there's a big long phrase for all the things they're the best at. It's great when you're dominating, when you have the big three. When you're struggling to avoid the play-in tournament, it doesn't sound quite as useful.
Do you want to give us the saying that as you think it is? The Miami Heat, according to Pat Riley, and he's used this before. He actually said this, I think, about the Knicks and the Lakers. but what's the saying?
Okay. Best conditioned, hardest working, strongest, most diligent, most thoughtful. I don't know.
No, not thoughtful.
Scariest. I'm running out of adjectives here.
Most uniforms.
Most uniforms would be perfect. Most full of shit. I don't know.
Wait a minute now.
I'm just kidding. It's a joke.
I would say that embedded in that, I believe, word for word motto that Greg Cody rattled off is, wouldn't caring about the regular season fall in line with that? wouldn't sludging
work,
through
work smarter, not harder. Shit, actually, they say hardest working.
Hardest working.
Yeah. Wouldn't sludging through and hitting your stride when everyone else is bored with the season, like, wouldn't that be part of Heat culture?
We were talking earlier in the show about age, and I want to just show some pictures here to some people and get some reactions here. I'm going to begin with Jackie Chan at 70 years old. Jackie Chan did his own stunts for a long time. Jackie Chan was an amazing action star. Mike Ryan has claimed that Mission Impossible, the penultimate one, is the greatest action movie that we've seen in many, many years. Monkey Man is now considered something that is coming in April with Jordan Peele at the helm, and it's said to be one of the great action movies. How do we feel about how Jackie Chan looks right there at 70? 70 years old, it's how he should look. It's how a 70-year-old would look.
Yeah, it looks good.
You always got to avoid overhead lighting. That is a speaking engagement stage lit. That is not a winning proposition.
He looks like Woody Allen.
Okay, that's not what Jackie Chan was going for at 70. When Roy says that he looks good, though, at 70, he doesn't look like a couple of other people I'm going to show you here. I'm going to show you right now the 60-year-old Lenny Kravitz. Lenny Kravitz has been taking very good care of himself.
That's crazy.
That's Ozempic right there.
Ozempic.
He's diabetic.
Ozempic? You think Ozempic gives you a six-pack?
How is that man 60? For crying out loud.
Well, I'm about to show you one.
If he's diabetic, then possibly.
What does he do now?
I mean, he still makes music.
He still makes music, yeah, and he models.
He performs.
He's got a bunch
Hollywood
of endorsement
star now,
deals.
Right?
He's also...
And very clearly crunches.
He's also very smart about fashion and design. Like, his taste is very strong. Wow. But let me show you Ernie Hudson from the original Ghostbusters at 78 years old, because this one floored me.
What?
I cannot believe that he looks younger than Paul Rudd, standing next to Paul Rudd, and in fact, the entire cast of Frozen.
I mean, it's not really fair because, as you know, black don't crack.
Well, but he's 78. It's supposed to crack at 78.
No,
it's supposed to crack at 78.
He looks just as good.
The foundation's still strong.
His body
is good.
Man. Put it on the poll, please, Juju, at Lebatard Show.
Arms.
Does black start to crack after 75? But Ernie Hudson, it's a bit staggering.
He looks great.
That's to be 80.
Yeah.
He's 2 years younger than my father.
I will say, I think he has hair coloring. Said the guy who has hair coloring as he speaks.
He's salt and pepper, though.
He's 10 years older than my dad.
Okay. You know, I could take him in a 60-yard race.
No, you couldn't.
I mean, he looks better now than he did in Oz.
He did.
Greg has told me that he has begun training for his six-minute mile.
Yeah. I'm starting incrementally. I don't want to get carried away. I just, a couple of days, not yesterday, I took the day off, but the day before yesterday, I ran 60 feet in less than 10 seconds. So I was pretty proud of that.
Every journey starts with one step,
we're
Greg.
We're working our way up.
You mm-hmm. should be proud.
Yeah.
Your average per 60 feet might get you there.
Yeah, I think so. I haven't done the math.
20 yards. You ran 20 yards.
Yeah.
But in how long?
Under 10 seconds.
So if you project that. He has a shot, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I wasn't even breaking a sweat.
And that was first day.
Right. I was eating a Dove bar while doing it, like Bill Parcells on a treadmill.
And yesterday was a rest day, which is all premier athletes. They sometimes forget how crucial the rest day is to the body.
Rest day really makes the difference.
It's all figured out. It's a plan.
Greg Cody just made a really great reference that he and I have been making for many years, but he kind of got the order of some of the words wrong, some people might not have understood what he was saying. Which is that when Bill Parcells was the champion leader of the Dolphins, somebody did catch him walking on a treadmill eating a Dove bar.
Love it. That's multitasking.
That's a thing that actually happened. I want to play for everybody here some sound. Speaking of action movies, Mike and I vigorously disagree on the latest incarnation of Roadhouse. It was not very good. But Conor McGregor and Jake Gyllenhaal have been making the rounds as
Parker. It's a soft. It's like a J.
Gyllenhaal. Yeah. Jake Gyllenhaal. I think Jake Gyllenhaal decided to do this only because he wanted to get fit and go to tropical places. This was not done in Key West. It was meant to look like it was done in Key West. But it was not done in Key West.
That didn't look like Lower Metacombi to you? That looked like Lower Metacombi to me.
That was either the Dominican or Guatemala. I couldn't tell, and I haven't looked it up. But Jake Gyllenhaal got incredibly
How'd you piece together Guatemala? Yeah. How'd you piece this together? Did you hear that?
It just looked like
those places have topography. This was the Keys,
Guatemala.
Dude. This was the Middle Keys. That was Lower Metacombi.
No, some of it was in the Keys. I do not believe that entire movie was in Key West.
There's no way.
Are you a Guatemalan cartographer?
No, it's just that it wasn't the Keys, and it looked to me like some places that I've seen before. That's all. It looked a little bit familiar, but I'm guessing. I haven't looked it up, so I may have it wrong. Like I got it wrong that there were saltwater crocodiles in the Keys. I did not know about that, and I asked Ron McGill about it, and he says they'd never attack anybody, though. But regardless, if I'm looking for suspension of disbelief in the movies, that's not the one that I'm going to look at. Because I'll give you this. The last 30 minutes were entertaining. If you enjoy seeing people's faces knocked off of tables and boats flying into the sky. The movie was profoundly stupid. But we have some audio of Conor McGregor, and a lot of people are accusing him of drug use. Conor McGregor's life. I'm not talking about steroid use.
Dan was right. Holy bleep. Dan was right. A large chunk of the film was filmed in the Dominican Republic. Actually, nope, that was 1984. Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, so Googling.
Okay, you're going to keep looking it up for me. In the meantime, they are trying to get the computer has crashed here, so we'll get to the sound in a second from over the weekend. But I did wonder what Gyllenhaal was thinking as he sat next to a McGregor who looked like he was in a stupor.
Overlaughing is the way I saw it.
He's just basically like uncomfortable. You can tell he feels weird. We're showing the B-roll of it here, but we can't do the audio yet. He's just, it looks, it's uncomfortable for everyone.
Yeah, odd couple.
In speed reading here, it looks like the 2024 remake was also filmed primarily in the Dominican Republic. So there you go.
You guys love to make fun of me.
Well, no, you said Guatemala.
Okay, yeah. Sorry. You said...
Different countries.
You said I was wrong.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text LOSE to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text LOSE to 200-300. That's LOSE to 200-300. LOSE to 200-300.